You know that famous little saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Well, we all know that that's wrong. Sticks and stones will hurt you, but words will hurt you also. In fact, they will scar us and they can last all of our lives. You know, all of us have probably had some kind of physical pain in our lives, and even if right now we said, do you remember how much it hurt? You'd say, well, I can just barely remember it. But let me tell you this, I guarantee you that every one of us in this room can remember something someone said about us when we were 15, when you were 14, 15 years ago, 30 years ago. Words cut to the quick. Sometimes when people say some unkind things or some cutting remarks, we remember that all of our lives. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, reckless words pierce like a sword. And it's true. We have to be careful with our tongues. James says that we can tame all the animals, but we can't tame our tongue. It's very small, but very powerful. From our tongue comes cursing and blessing. I read something the other day that says we must mind what we say, or we might say whatever comes to our minds. As we continue in this study this morning, Peter is going to deal with this issue of our tongue and watching what we say, and he deals with this as we talk about responding or dealing with how we respond to people by what we say and by what we do. As we look at this passage, we're going to see some truths from God's Word that we can apply right now as we seek to deal with our relationship with other people, about what we say and what we do. It's very important how we live, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Let's begin. Let's just remind us where we are. We're studying, of course, 1 Peter. Peter is writing a letter to some believers who are scattered out into what was modern-day Turkey. He is writing with the purpose of encouraging them to stand strong for Jesus Christ because they're persecuted, because they're standing for Christ. And so he talks to them. Now, if you would, look in your Bible at 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 11, because beginning right there, he begins a different section. Up to this point in time, in chapter 1, in the first part of chapter 2, he has been reminding the believers of all the blessings that we have and all of those things. But starting in chapter 2, verse 11, and going through the section that we're in this morning, he is going to talk to believers and say, now, it matters how you live. In fact, look what he says in verse 11. He says this. He says, beloved, I urge you as strangers and aliens to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Starting at that verse, he says, now listen, we are strangers and aliens. The word alien literally meant that this is not your home. Your citizenship is not here. You're just passing through. The word stranger meant that it was temporary that you were here. So he says, now to you believers who have trusted in Jesus Christ, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. There's certain ways you must live. And he says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, among the unbelievers. So he tells us, as believers, as those who are just passing through, we've got to live a certain way. And he's given some input already. He said to love one another. He said, strongly desire the word of God, long after it, so you may know it, so you can grow. And then he said, submit to the government. There was even a passage back at verse 18 of chapter 2 where he said, for slaves to come under the authority of their masters. And then we saw in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, he dealt with, verses 1 through 6, he dealt with the wives. And verse 7, he dealt with the husbands. He said, now as a husband and as a wife, as believers in a fallen world, you got to live a certain way. And so he's gone over and over that. Now, finally, as we get to verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, he's going to sort of bring it together and give sort of a summary as he says to us, okay, now I've been talking to you about this. I told you this, 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 and this. Finally, in fact, verse 8 starts to sum it up. And this is what he's going to do. He's going to bring together some key instructions that all of us need as we seek to make a difference for Christ. And that's what he's going to look at. Let me break down the passage for you. Here's what we're going to do. First of all, in verse 8, he's going to give five specific commands, specific aspects of how we're to live in our relationship with our fellow believers. He's going to list them. What we want to do is look at our own lives and say, are we doing that? When we relate to one another, are we doing these things? Then in verse 9, he's going to tell us something very important in our lives. How do we relate to those who do us wrong? Because he's going to talk about it. He's going to give us a negative and a positive, what not to do and what to do. And as we've said over and over, you are going to be wronged in your life. As you seek to live for Jesus Christ in a fallen world, there are people going to go against you. And there are going to be people who are going to mistreat you on purpose. How do you respond? We'll see that. And then finally, verses 10, 11, and 12, he's going to go back to the Old Testament. He's going to quote Psalm 34, and he's basically going to reinforce his teaching and say that what I'm trying to tell you is something that the Bible has talked about, even in Psalm 34. And he kind of deals with righteous living, and we'll see that as we look through it. There's so much that we can apply from this passage in our lives even now. Well, let's begin. He says, beginning in verse 8, he says, to sum it up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Now he brings it together and he says, let's make a conclusion. Now that you're strangers and aliens and you're passing through and you got to keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, and husbands and wives have to live a certain way and slaves have to live a certain way, and we got to come under the authority of our government, we got to do all of these kind of things. Now that these are true, let's sum it up. And he says, to sum it up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. He's bringing this together. And he's really going to talk about two things. We see one in verse 8 and one in verse 9. In verse 8, he says, how do we relate to one another as believers? Verse 9, how do we deal with those, and how do we respond to those who mistreat us? So that's what we're going to see. Verse 8 is our relationship with others. Verse 9, how do we respond when people mistreat us? And they will. Well, let's start. He's going to look at our relationship to our fellow believers, and he gives us five things. And as we look at that, I want you to think about our own lives and our own relationship to those within the body of Christ, and how do we relate? Look at the first one. He says, to sum it up, let all be harmonious. And that word harmonious literally means to be like-minded. It means to think the same thing. It doesn't mean that we're robots and that we all have to think exactly alike, but it means that we as a body of believers ought to have unity. We ought to agree. We ought to think about the same kind of things. The goals and the plans and the purposes that we have, the direction for our body, pretty much ought to fit together. It's sometimes been translated to be united in spirit. The idea is unity. Unity of what we believe and what we want to do. Because that's the key to ministry, is unity. You and I know that, and historically, that what causes a negative testimony in a community is when a church can't get along with each other and there's a split in the church and people say things like, well, don't worry about going there, they had this big split. They can't get along with each other. Unity is a key. And so he says, be harmonious, which literally means be like-minded. Think the same thing. See, as we are in unity with one another, as we seek to live for Christ, we want to seek the same thing. The Ephesians passage says we're to be unified as believers and we're to be unified in our faith, believing the same things. Now, we're not talking about everybody's got to believe exactly the same, but what we're talking about is in the big things like, what do we believe about salvation? What do we believe about the Christian life? What do we believe about the Bible? What do we believe about Jesus Christ? We ought to pretty much as a whole believe the same thing, be united, as he says, in spirit here, be harmonious in that. See, this whole idea of thinking the same thing flows throughout the New Testament. Let me just think about this. This is Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13 says, equip the saints to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ so that we can all come to the unity of the faith. Romans 12:16 says, be like-minded. Romans 15:5 says, have the same mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says, be like-minded. Philippians 2:2 says, be of the same mind. Philippians 2:5 says, let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be also in you. The idea there over and over from the Bible is that we need to think the same way. We need to be in unity in our thinking and in the body. And as we said a while ago, unity is one of the most powerful aspects of testimony before the world. So we have to have unity. And so his first statement to all of us as we're living as believers and relating to each other, he says, be harmonious. Be like-minded. Think the same thing. Be together. So let's have unity in our thinking and our plans and our goals. We know our ultimate goal and plan is what? It's to make disciples. Why are we here on this earth? God has left us on this earth so that we can go out and lead people to Christ and then equip and train them. That is making disciples. That's our purpose and plan as a local body. And that's our plan and purpose even as individuals. So let's have unity in that aspect. Well, there's a second thing that he says. Look what he goes on to do. He says, to sum it up, let all be harmonious. The second thing he says is sympathetic. And that word literally in the Greek means to share feelings. It has the idea of feel what somebody else feels. And you ready for this? The Greek word is sympathesis, and we get sympathetic from it. We get our English word from it. It literally has the idea of understanding somebody else's feelings. See, sometimes in our relationships, we overlook the feelings of others. I mean, we have an idea. This is what we're going to do, and we're going to do this, and this, and this, and this is what. And we don't always think about what somebody else's feelings may be. And so I want you to think for a second. Do you and I consider people's feelings? We're so in a hurry of what we want, sometimes we forget. The Word of God says that we need to think about their feelings. In fact, he says, to sum it up, be unity of your thoughts and your mind. Be sympathetic. As believers, may we look out for the feelings of others. There's a third thing, and that is, my Bible just says the word brotherly. That's probably not the best translation. Probably brotherly love would be the very best translation. The idea literally means to love the fellow believers, to love those in the body of Christ. The Greek word here is philadelphios. Phileo is the Greek word for love, and adelphos is the Greek word for brother, and philadelphios means brotherly love. That's why they call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love, because that's what the name means. And this word literally means love your brother, love the fellow believer. And so he says, listen, let's be in unity of mind, let's be share our feelings, or at least have understand what somebody else is feeling, and let's love one another. Peter's already said this. Back in chapter 1, verse 22, he said, love the brethren. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said the same thing. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And by this, people will know that you belong to me by your love one for another. And see, that's the key. We've got to love each other. We've got to take the time to know each other. We've got to take the time to invest in each other's lives. We've got to love each other. First Peter, the love is the basis for our ministry. I want you to think about that. Love is the basis for our ministry. Galatians says, by love, serve one another. Love is the basis for our testimony. We just said that. Jesus said, they will know you're mine by your love for each other. Romans 12:10 says this. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So we're to love one another. It's action, by the way. It's taking the gifts, the talents, the possessions, the time, the abilities that you have, and you invest in each other's lives. That's what it's all about. See, some of the problems that we have in our society today is we rush in, we all sit down, we sing, we hear messages, and then we rush out. And sometimes we never even know the people we sit by. We're in this body together, and if you consider Countryside your local body, then we're here to love one another. We're not only to be in like mind, and we're not only to share each other's feelings, so to speak, but we're to love one another, and that is an action. Your gifts, your talents, to touch other lives for Christ. It has been said that nothing costs as much as loving, except not loving. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to love each other in this room, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you your possessions. It's going to cost you your gifts and abilities and talents, because you're going to have to invest yourself in other people. But as we said, it costs, but it doesn't cost as much as not loving. We love one another by our actions. So he says, realize in our relationships, we must be in unity. We must share feelings. We must understand what other people feel. We must love one another. Then he gives the fourth thing, and look what it says. It says, kind-hearted. That word literally means to have compassion. It's the same as Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, where even as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Where it says, kind, tenderhearted, that's the same word. That idea is to have compassion for somebody else. It has the idea of want to reach out to them. Let me tell you, you know what the Greek word literally means here? It means to have happy insides. That's what it means. It means you're happy on the inside because you're having compassion for somebody else, that you feel good on the inside because you're reaching out and you're showing compassion. See, there's a difference between pity and compassion. See, pity goes, oh, is that is so sad. Compassion says, that is sad. What can I do? I'm going to do something about this. That's compassion. See, in our world, we really just sort of look out for ourselves. We do our own thing, and sometimes we forget about others. And sometimes we don't invest our lives in others. That's compassion, taking the time to do that. Look at the last one. He says, it's number 5 in that verse 8. He says, and humble in spirit. Now that's just the opposite of pride. Of course, it's the word for humility. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, consider others more important than ourselves. That's what humility is. Humility is saying, I'm going to lift up others rather than lifting up myself. See, the world says you got to look out for yourself and you got to do your own thing and you got to take care of yourself. But the Word of God says that you need to take care of others, that you need to look out for others. And so one of the questions that we would have as we think about this passage is, how do we treat others? How do we live? Are we showing our importance or are we showing others' importance? I read something the other day that said, the branch that bears the most fruit is bent lowest to the ground. That's humility. And that's true. Romans 12, verse 16, let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but it sort of puts together a lot of these attitudes and actions. Here's what Paul wrote in Romans 12, 16. He says, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in your minds. He says, be of the same mind, think the same. Don't be puffed up in pride, but show humility. He goes on to say, associate with the lowly. Don't be wise in your own estimation. So he says, listen, look out for others. Be kind and compassionate and tenderhearted and be humble. And the key, as we seek to live for Christ in our relationship to fellow believers, these 5 things. Let's have unity, thinking the same. Let's consider others' feelings. In other words, understand what other people are feeling. Love one another. Have compassion and look out for others. It's humility rather than pride. So this morning, I want us to stop for just a second. I want you to think about it. How can we live this out in our lives? I mean, this is a strong thing, and it's a hard thing. What changes do I need to make? What changes do you need to make in our attitudes, in our actions, so that we can live out these things? How can we make application of these commands? There is a danger of hearing the Word of God and not doing it. See, we can, week after week, and I can study week after week and know what all this says, but not live it out. And so one of the things that we do, not only are we trying to teach what it says, but then we say to each other, okay, look, how are we going to do this? What difference is it going to make in our lives? So what we need to do is have that unity and compassion and share the feelings and love one another and lift each other up. That's what we must do. And each one of us must look at our lives to see how we can live that out on a daily basis in relationship with the fellow believers. Now, from this, Peter then turns to relating to those who might hurt us, who might do evil to us, who do us wrong. And as I said a while ago, in our lives, if you live long enough, it's going to happen to you. Now, some of you say, you know, so far, nobody's really ever really mistreated me very badly. Well, it's coming. It'll happen. There are going to be people who will. We live in a fallen world, and it's going to happen to you. There are going to be people who will say things. There are going to be people who will do things. And you can look at it and you can say, I can't believe this person was my friend. I can't believe they would ever say something like that. Or I thought that was a sure thing. They told me that. And then they went right back on their word. Sometimes it's going to happen. What do we do? Well, the answer is found not only in the Old Testament, but is also found in the New Testament as well. And you know what it is? Very simply put, it is this. Don't seek revenge. Leave the vengeance to God. Don't return evil with evil. Do good. That's the bottom line. Now, by the way, that the natural thing to do is to get them back. I mean, when people do us wrong, we say, you're not going to get away with that. You are not getting away with that. If they think they are, they're wrong. That's the natural thing. What's the supernatural thing? The supernatural thing is to let God deal with it. Let's look at it. We're going to see Peter's teaching in verse 9, and he does two things. He gives a negative and a positive. The negative is what not to do. The positive is what to do. Look at verse 9. Here is the negative. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult. He says, now here's what not to do. Don't return evil for evil. When somebody does you wrong, don't do something wrong back to them. Literally it says, not giving evil back to those who do evil. Well, that may sound familiar to us, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:39. He talked about that same thing. See, when others do us wrong, we don't return it. As I said a while ago, the natural thing is to return it. That's exactly the way we feel. We don't think it's fair. We don't think it's right. But he says, don't return evil with evil. Just because somebody does you wrong, don't do them wrong back. What about when they say things? Well, they can do things and they can say things. He says, or insult for insult. The word insult literally means to say something bad. Sometimes people are going to say something bad, and you're going to want to say, well, okay, let me tell you about you. That's what we want to do. That is natural. I talked to a friend the other day. They were on the phone, and they were talking to someone in their family, and the person was saying some really bad things. And the person just basically said, well, I'm going to hang up now. Have a nice day. Didn't say anything bad back. Could have. That would have been the natural thing to do, but the person did the supernatural thing. Instead of saying, well, if that's what you're going to say, let me tell you what I really think about you. He said, have a nice day. We've got to realize that what we don't do is get people back. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult. Well, what do we do then? Well, here's the positive thing. Watch what he says. Do not return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead. You know what a blessing is? Literally, the word blessing means to speak well or to do something nice. And what he's really saying is, hey, if somebody does you wrong, do something nice for them. Do something nice. I don't want to do something nice for somebody who does something wrong to me, who says something bad to me. He says, don't return evil with evil and don't give insult to insult, but what you do is give a blessing instead. It is supernatural. That's why I said this is hard. This is not what we want to do. This is not what we feel like doing. This is not what we think we probably ought to do. This is what the Word of God says to do. He says, give a blessing. Let me read something to you. This is Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there, but listen to this. Romans 12, right toward the end, this is verse 17. He says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, and as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for wrath for God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. He's quoting Deuteronomy. The very end of the passage he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now that's a supernatural reaction. We can't do that in our own power. We can only do that in the power of the Holy Spirit who indwells in us. So he says, what do we do? He says, don't pay back evil with evil and don't pay back insult with insult. But what you do is you give a blessing. Well, why? Because he goes on to say, for you have been called for this very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. He said, you've been called for this. We're called as children of God. And he says, as a child of God and as one who represents Jesus Christ, we're going to inherit blessing. And since we're going to inherit blessing, what we ought to be doing in our lives is not giving out evil, but giving out blessings. So he says, listen, don't return evil for evil. Don't return insult for insult, but instead give a blessing, for you were called for this very purpose as a child of God that you might inherit blessings. And we're going to inherit blessings. We're going to inherit an eternal life. We're going to inherit a new home that will, and a body that will never fade away. An eternal life with Jesus Christ. We got all of those blessings. And he says, you're a person that's going to inherit blessings. And so you've been called for that purpose as a child of God. So don't do evil. Do good. It has been saying that God does not bless us to make us happy, but he blesses us to make us a blessing. So what does Peter say? He says, listen, on the negative side, don't do evil. On the positive side, give a blessing. You were called for this very purpose, that you might inherit the blessing. Well, this is supernatural, and as I said a while ago, it is not something you can do in your power. It's something only we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And what Peter does is he goes on in verses 10, 11, and 12, and he's going to quote an Old Testament passage, and he's going to do it on purpose. He's going to reinforce his teaching. And what he's going to say is, listen, this is not something new. This is a truth throughout the whole Bible that you are to live in a certain way, and when people do you wrong, you're to do certain things. You're to do good, not evil. And he's going to show this. He's going to go back to Psalm 34. Which Psalm 34 basically is saying, if you want to live a good life, and if you want to have a good life, then we must live in a certain way, that is living righteously, not doing evil, but doing good. That's Psalm 34. Now he's quoting, in this little section, verses 10, 11, and 12, he's going to quote Psalm 34, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, a little section there. Now this psalm was written by David, the great king, and he was going through some trials. In fact, he was on the run for his life. And what David could have written, he says, listen, these people are trying to kill me. The first chance I get, I'm going to kill them. But that's not what David wrote in Psalm 34. He actually says in Psalm 34, if they're coming after you, do good. Don't do evil. And so he's going to quote that. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12 is directly taken from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. Now, there's one thing that Peter doesn't quote, and I think it's good that we know it. It's the verse right before this. It's Psalm 34, 11. Listen to what it says. David writes and says, listen, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He says, listen, and I will teach you how to live wisely, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. David writes this and says, now listen, I'm going to tell you some wise living, how you'll know what to do. And then he quotes this. And so Peter takes it and quotes it to show for us what we can do and what we're supposed to do. Look what he says, verse 10. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And he starts off and says, let the one who wants to have a good life and live a good number of days, if you want to have a blessed life, here's what you're supposed to do. And we might say, well, I wonder what he's going to say. Peter says, I'll tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say the same thing I just told you, says Peter. And that is, live at peace, watch your tongue, don't do evil, don't seek vengeance, but do good. That's what he's going to say in this psalm, in these verses. And he's going to divide it in two things. He's going to start about what we say, and then he's going to talk about what we do. Look what he says, verse 10. Let him who means to love life and see good days, here he goes, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And he says, watch what we say. Watch our tongue. He says, refrain our tongue and our lips from evil. He's actually saying, stop saying bad things. Stop lying, because the word guile literally means lying. He says, refrain your tongue from evil, from saying evil things, and your lips from speaking guile, from saying things that aren't true. Literally, stop lying. Stop saying bad things. Stop telling stories. See, in our relationships, we must have pure lips. And see, it is so easy. We said a while ago, the tongue, we can tame every animal, but we can't tame what comes out of our mouths. We'll say things and we'll go, oh man, I blew it right there. You shouldn't have said that. I know it. I shouldn't have. In our relationships, we must watch what we say. Listen to this. This is Ephesians 4:29. It says this. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only for such as good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. He said, look, don't let bad anything come out of your mouth that's going to tear things down, but whatever you say, let it be the kind of things that build people up. And see, the truth is, many of our problems in our lives are caused by our mouths, by our words, by saying the things that we shouldn't say. The Living Bible translates this. Listen, it's a great translation. It says this. If you want to have a happy and a good life, keep control of your tongue and guard your lips from telling lies. So the first thing he says is, watch what you say. Don't lie and don't say things that are wrong. Then he goes to the second thing. And that's what you do. And that's verse 11. He says, let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. He says, listen, turn away from evil and do good. That word turn away literally means, like, if you're walking down a path and then you say, well, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go this way. And you turn aside. That's the word. It means you're going down a path of evil. And he says, look, turn away off the path of evil and do good. Don't go down that path. Turn away from it and do good. We, as children of God, we're children of the King. We must be known for those who do what is right rather than being known for those who do what is wrong. See, if we want to live a blessed life, we've got to do what is right. He adds one more thing. Look what he says at the end of verse 11. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That means go after peace. I quoted this a while ago. Romans 12:18 says, as much as possible, as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. See, the truth is, anybody can fight, anybody can get mad, and anybody can say, hey, you're not going to talk to me that way. Anybody can get mad and fight. I'll never forget the story that Stephen Farrar told while he did his conference here. He talked about his dad. He said his dad was a huge man. And he can remember, as he was a little boy, they were at this restaurant, and they were about to check out, and he was standing right there, and suddenly this guy, it must have been a bar or something, but the guy came out, and he saw his big dad. And he thought, hey, I think I can whip that big guy. And he came over to Stephen Farrar's dad and said, hey, buddy, I think I can get you. And he said he'll never forget what his dad did. First of all, his dad took him and put him on this side. He said the second thing is he never paid that guy any attention. He just said, anybody want any candy? Anybody want any candy as I'm paying the bill here? He ignored that guy. Anybody could fight. He said, my daddy could have whipped him just like that. He could have looked at him and said, but you can't handle me. He just never even acknowledged him. And see, the truth is, any of us can get mad and go, hey, you're not going to talk to me that way. Let it go. As much as possible, pursue peace. Because that's what he's talking about. In our relationships, he says, listen, watch your mouth. Don't say things that are wrong and don't lie. Second, turn away from evil, do good, and as much as possible, live at peace, pursue peace, be people. The blessed are the peacemakers. They shall inherit the earth. Watch them. So he says, sort of in a summary, if you want to have that kind of life, if you want to live the way God wants you to live, as aliens and strangers and all of these things, Peter says, listen, in our relationship with others, be a certain way. And in our relationship with those who mistreat us, do a certain thing. And as far as the Old Testament said, it fits right in with the New Testament. Watch what you say, watch what you do. Well, we can stop here for a second. We can say, what does it really make any difference? Does it matter how you treat fellow believers? And does it matter whether you pursue peace or not? And does it matter how you respond to those who do you wrong? Well, couldn't it be just as okay to say, you're not going to get me back? I mean, you're not going to get away with this. I'm going to get you back. Is it okay? What difference does it really make if we live this way or not? Well, I want you to notice what he says in verse 12. He says it does make a difference because God's watching. Watch. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He says, look, God is watching you. You are a child of God, and when we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we belong to him. We are God's children, and he says, as my children, I love you, and I expect you to live a certain way. Just like as parents, we look at our children, and we say, honey, I want you to do this, and we want them to live a certain way because we know what's best. And our Heavenly Father says the same thing. And he says, if you are my children, don't think you're going to get away with doing wrong, because I'm your Heavenly Father. I love you, and I'm going to deal with you. And so he says, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. Listen, he's right out there, and he looks at us. He loves us. He cares about us. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. When we as God's children do wrong, you can expect that God is going to discipline us. Galatians 6:7 says, God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. What you put in, you get out. Hebrews chapter 12 says, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and chastens every child he receives. The verse goes on to say, for what father does not discipline his son, shall we should expect our heavenly fathers to deal with us and to discipline us. So it does make a difference, because our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he does not want us to live in sin. He does not want us to do evil things and wrong things. And so God says, I love you and I will deal with you. So he says, you want to be happy? You want to live righteously? You want to do what God wants you to do? Then pursue peace, watch our tongues, turn away from evil, do good, don't seek vengeance, leave it to God. All of those different things. In summary, what we've seen is, as aliens and strangers, as those who are just passing through, as those who belong to Jesus Christ, how do we live? First of all, in our relationship with others, unity, understanding their feelings, compassion, loving one another, humility. In our relations with those who do us wrong, don't do evil back to them. Do good to them and let God deal with them. And why? Because Psalm 34 says, if you want to have a good life and a happy life, don't do evil, do good. Pursue righteousness, because God, your Heavenly Father, cares how you live. Let's just end this morning by thinking about an application. Sort of a long one, but just ties together with the whole passage, and that is this. Let us seek to live righteously in this fallen world. I mean, we are aliens and strangers. If we've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and my prayer is that every one of us have trusted Christ as Savior, we have eternal life, we're God's children, we're to live differently, we're to have, as he says here, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. In other words, live righteously before the unbelievers. And that's what we want to do. We want to live that way. Now, there are two things I want you to think about as we make that application, that is to live righteously. One, why should we do this? Number two, how do we do this? Number one, why should we do it? Does it make a difference? Yes, it does, because as a believer, God keeps his eyes on his children. And if we do wrong, he's going to discipline us. So we must watch our tongues. We must pursue peace. We must pursue righteousness, because our Heavenly Father loves us and he cares what is best for us. So it does make a difference. Second, how do we do it then? Well, in our relationship with our fellow believers, we've already seen five things that we do. We're to have unity. We're to love each other. We're to share each other's feelings, in other words, understand feelings. We're to have compassion, and we're to live in humility rather than pride. Now, the key thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to look at our lives. We're going to see, how can we apply these commands in our relationships? It would be real easy to teach this and say, okay, well, y'all know what it is. The question that's going to have for every one of us this morning is, how can each one of us individually live this out in our daily lives, in our relationship with other people? We have to. We cannot. There is a danger of looking at the Word of God, hearing the Word, and overlooking it. We must apply what we know. There is a danger, and all week long, me sitting there studying this and saying, you know, this is good stuff, and never applying it. We must do that. There's a second thing we do, and that is, how do we relate to those? How do we respond to those who do us wrong? Well, don't return evil with evil. Do good. It's a supernatural thing. It's not natural. And as Psalm 34 says, if you want to have a happy life and you want to be blessed by God, watch your tongue. Don't do evil. Do good. And pursue peace. And if we do that and we leave the vengeance to God, he'll take care of those things. May we live as lights in a fallen world, living in unity, loving and helping our fellow believers, not returning evil to those who do us wrong, but doing good so that we'll have a blessed life as a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks for this passage. We thank you for the truths that are there. Lord, may we live our lives in such a way that you are glorified. May we live righteously in the midst of a fallen world. Lord, we realize that we are aliens and strangers. We're just passing through and you expect us to live differently. Lord, we know that you are watching our lives and you love us. And as our Heavenly Father, you will deal with us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, as we relate to our fellow believers, may we love them. May we have compassion for them. May we share the feelings that they have. May we understand this, their thinking and our unity. And may we lift them up, living a life of humility rather than pride. Lord, we know that as we live in a fallen world, there are going to be times that people do us wrong. May we never return evil with evil or insult for insult. But may we do good. Lord, we know that can only come through you. And may we as much as possible pursue peace and live at peace with all men, turning away from evil, watching our tongue, and doing what is right. Lord, I pray for every one of us in this room that we will look at ways that we can specifically apply these truths that you have given to us as we seek to live for you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.